True transparency.
True transparency.
True transparency.
True transparency.
True
transparency. True transparency.
Today's true.
All right. Today on True Transparency, we're going to be talking about the Black experience. Specifically, is there hypocrisy in the Black community when it comes to interracial dating? How do we feel about Black men dating white women and vice versa, Black women dating and marrying white men? All right, let's pick up where we are this week. So I suppose everybody has heard, seen, and maybe had a little conversation around the Childish Gambino video, This Is America. Have y'all seen it?
Yep.
What do y'all think about it?
I think it's excellent. Each watch gives you something different. The amount of time that he put into it as an artist, there's a lot of things that stand out. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's cool. It has a lot of layers to it, which requires a lot of watching, to Niall's point. So I thought that was cool.
Did you get, or what did you feel the first time you watched it?
I had a strong reaction to the violent scenes. I didn't like seeing that.
All right, so it didn't bother me in terms of the violence. I thought it was a lot of symbology. Everything was a symbol, and while you were trying to watch the video, there were underlying things from it, and I kept wondering what things were. So I was more caught up in what he was trying to say versus what it actually said. So I was looking at different things, looking at the lyrics for the song, trying to get a better understanding of the video. So it made me do a lot of research.
Yeah, so everybody's come up, if you go look on YouTube or anything, if you look on Facebook, anywhere, everybody has their interpretation about what he was talking about. But overall, it seemed like it had a lot of symbolism to Jim Crow. Had a lot of symbolism to the Black experience here in America and the different things that we've gone through. And it was, for me, the first time, a little disturbing. It made me feel kind of weird watching it, and then watching it again and again and again and again. It made me feel really weird, to where I think the timing of it was also very critical, because he came like and he dropped it. Like, I think the last time we recorded, we were talking about Kanye talking about slavery as a choice and all of this different thing. And that night, it's like he dropped that video right after Kanye's big thing. So the timing of it was kind of like, everybody's like, man, Gambino's the man. He did successfully what Kanye was trying to do. Like, he's talking about the Black experience here in America and saying all the different things that we go through. So everybody was hyped. Everybody was hyped. But then something happened.
We discovered he had a white partner.
And then things went awfully, awfully wrong. Because after that, everybody was cool. He was a great, you know, person on Saturday Night Live. Gambino is the wokest, genius, most Blackest man in America. Yes. That has children with a white woman. Now, Black people, more specifically, Black women, are like, you getting your Black card revoked. Okay. You cannot be woke and date a person outside of your race, specifically a white person. Do you believe that? Do you guys agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that.
Nah.
Seriously, y'all being transparent?
Nah, being super serious. I don't believe that you have to be a part of a particular Black experience in order to speak on the Black experience in a positive light.
I think where it can be criticized is if you call yourself pro-Black, but you marry someone outside of your race, because that's not necessarily being pro-Black. Pro-Black means everything. Everything. My family, you know, all of that. Everything I do is toward, you know, Blackness and Black culture. So that's the only thing. If you call yourself 100% pro-Black, but you go out and you marry, you know, a white person or somebody outside of your race, that's when I feel you could be criticized.
Even then, I don't feel like you can. Only because there are a lot of things in this world you can be pro for. right? You could be for the troops. I support the troops. You don't have to marry a troop person to be a person who gives into their cause. We can do all these types of things, but it's with blackness in particular when we get real defensive about what it means to be pro-black, right? I was telling T earlier, one of the things that I was thinking about when I was hearing these conversations is during civil rights, we had a lot of white people who were pro-black. They went to our rallies. Some of them even died giving their lives for our cause. Now, are we going to look back and be like, hey, sorry, you weren't pro-black, and not give them the respect that they would do? No, we wouldn't, because you put your life on the line for something you believed in. So I don't want to say that you can or cannot be pro-black because of who you end up with, right? You could still contribute, even if that's the case. I can still sympathize, empathize, and feel for certain causes, even though I may not be 100% in the game. I'm still putting up numbers. So would you rather me not play at all and sit on the bench while y'all got it? Or you want to be more collaborative and move us forward as black people and just let everybody, if you have something positive to say that's going to make our culture better, participate?
I hear what you're saying. I don't think Gambino ever really came out, though, and said I'm pro-black. Okay, I don't think that has been his stance. I think his stance is just to be an artist and to give light to certain issues and to do it in a very peculiar way, because he can be a little peculiar. Even if you look at his show Atlanta, like some of the stuff is very different than what we've experienced. And so I think people have an appreciation for his artistry. But the one thing that we are jumping to do right now as black people, we're loving to label people as woke. Oh man, that dude is woke, or that girl is woke. That's our new word, you know? We love woke. The problem is we haven't had any synonymous or any agreement on what woke truly means. Because what does it mean to be woke? What does it mean to be like, if you see that brother, you see that sister, they're woke?
Just to give y'all a quick anecdote, we had a all hands meeting at our business. And during the meeting, our general manager said that one of the seniors told us, who was a white man, that he was woke. And everybody in the room was like, excuse me, what?
Hold up. A manager told the general manager that he was he was woke? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And everyone heard it. And all of us, all the black people were like, hmm? And of course, the general manager is a black man, and he thought it was hilarious. He said he was woke. He really means it, guys. He's awake right now. And everyone was just like, sir, really? Like, this is poor timing. But yeah, it's played with. We toss it about like it's fun, like it means something that's going to be wiped away. Like the N-word, how everybody used to say it all the time. Oh, niggas, niggas, niggas. Now it's not that big of a deal. We just say it and it's part of life. You know, woke, I feel like it was eventually going to be there. Just like conscious brother used to be really a thing, like a big thing. Bunch of phrases, but I feel like this being woke, we don't have a definition for it. Because if you are hip to Dear White People, if you're too woke, you're a hotep, right? Am I being correct?
Did you ever find out what hotep meant?
I'm not hip. Well, yeah, in our last podcast.
I can understand what you're saying. Being a hotep, that's just being a little bit crazy, because everything is a conspiracy theory in your head. But go ahead.
Even the fact that we have extremes and levels of wokeness is something that I don't think we as black people thought about when we made the word. Being woke just meant something, and now it's ostracized. Well, it's not ostracized, but it's spread out, and it means different things for different parties, different types of black people. Black experience has altered the word to mean several different things all at once. All
right, so let's just smash it. In here, us three, me, you, and you, what does woke mean when you think about it?
Woke, just means being aware, not asleep, not like put to sleep by everything that's going around. You are aware, you are conscious, of what's going on around you. That's what that means to me.
Putting together, I agree being awake and being aware. And for me also, not just being aware, but being engaged is being woke. Because being aware that somebody is getting beat does not make me think that, oh, they know. The dude over there beating their ass. No, but being engaged and doing something about the awareness that you are is, for me, what I think about being woke is.
Okay, so I guess I'm in the middle. For me, it is much like what you both, what you've said. It's also, you are cognitive. You're thinking about what you see. You're not asleep in the sense of you're letting things pass by you, but you're actively taking in observations and you're making judgments on those things. You are 100% conscious of your surroundings. You're not numb to things. You are eyes wide open. Now, that's as far as I go with it.
So now for us talking about it, because the one way I can honestly say we have to figure out what we think before we discuss it intelligently, because Black America or Black people in general have different things. And Niall and I were talking about it on the way over here. We were like, the problem is not so much externally outside of the Black community. It's more within the Black community. The Black community is very, I'm trying to pick my words carefully, is very hopeful to see, you know, Black people validated. And I say that in a very careful sense of being like, you don't tear me down, but I want you to understand who I am. And I want you to understand, hence the actual movement of Black Lives Matter. I want you to understand that I matter, that I'm valuable, and that I need to see that I'm appreciated for who I am. And so when you see somebody do something, whether it be politically, make a piece of art, whether it be music, video, movie, or something of that nature, you go, damn, you get us. Man, you see us. You understand that we matter and we are valuable and that we need to have our story out there so people can understand it. And there's this draw that you have and you go, that's my dude or that's my girl. And then immediately when that piece of information comes in, people treat it as a betrayal almost. And I don't understand. Now, I know you might say, that's ridiculous. Why would you say they betray? It's just that how they feel. They were like, I thought you were for us and you understood us. Simply kind of like Yo said, we think because you did that, you are pro-Black. You are, man, everything Black. Man, Black lives matter. Man, I want to make sure everybody understands Black. And then you go off. Have y'all seen that movie, Men's to Society?
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to bring old boy. And I can't remember his name. But there was a dude, he was like a hotep, like an African dude. And he would be like in the movie. Y'all don't remember it?
Yeah. What's his name? I can't think of his name. I know the character you're talking about, though.
But he wanted white. He'll be like, excuse me. And he'll move past. But he was a pro-Black person. And like he would move past the Black girls and be like, I'm trying to get to that girl right there.
Oh, no. You're not talking about
by drinking, yeah. Drinking a juice. I'm sorry. Don't be a menace to society by drinking like, your juice in the hood.
That wasn't... Yeah.
No, I remember the original. It was the spoof of it. I'm sorry. Yeah. Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. That was the name of it. But literally, he's like draped in like, you know, African, you know, where he has the hat on, the kente cloth, everything. My brother, let me tell you, excuse me, my sister. I'm trying to get to that lovely young lady right there. Who, that white girl? Yeah, that white girl right there. Come here. And immediately it's kind of like, well, dang. Okay. Cool. And for that, a lot of people, that's the way they feel. Is it right? I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. You can have an opinion about it, but that's the way they feel.
True. I think that when we get to these places and we don't have a firm understanding of what Blackness means, then we have the iterations where we have problems with. We immediately... based on what we're talking about, we put Childish, whatever him come out and said, in the pro-Black category, right? We immediately pushed him there. No conversations were had. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're just pro-Black now, right? When Kanye said George Bush doesn't hate Black people, I mean, hates Black people, immediately pushed him to pro-Black. We do that because we don't have a standard or a real easy definition of what Blackness is. Because if you want to be honest, Blackness only exists because there's whiteness. If we didn't have whiteness, there'd be no other way for us to explain Blackness. We wouldn't need to. But because whiteness is a thing, because you can only be Black to a certain extent if you don't have these levels of whiteness in you. We never really deal with that.
I'll have to see if I agree with it. I'll have to process it.
Think about what it means to be Black, right? If you had the black experience, what things are constantly involved in blackness? You know, we have the stereotypes, but let's not get into the stereotypes. What things are quintessential about a black experience?
Your everyday experience, living in a world that is geared in, manufactured mostly towards someone that does not look like you.
What other things? Like, what things do we all have in common in this room? We have black pigment. Music, pigment, of course.
Pigment, I'm going to say. But that's the thing. If you are a black person, I was in a car this past weekend with three black people, one white person. And we were talking about the music that we enjoy. And, you know, we were saying, hey, I have an appreciation for, like, different genres. We were picking music. And the white person was like, man, yeah. And they're like, I love this song. And so I was waiting for him to turn the song on. And it was a Jay-Z Kanye song. And I was just like, I mean, I dig that song. I really like this song. They were like, man, it's just like when the beat drops. And there's something inside of you. It doesn't matter. Even as a black person, something inside of you go, okay, cool, I guess. And then I start talking about different types of music that I like. I clearly like hip hop. I clearly like R&B. But I like stuff that most people don't even. I might be like, I want a little Maroon 5, you know? I like a little bit of that, you know? Kick a little bit of, you know, Ed Sheeran. And I was like, I like that stuff. And then I was like, I even like some country music. I do. It depends. Does that negate me being black? Because we might not share that.
Depending on who you're asking, yeah. Some people would kick you out for, excuse me, you like rock music? I'm sorry. Give me your black card. This happened to me before. When people found out that I listened to rock music and I played a guitar and I was in a band, people were like, ooh, you play what in the band? You don't play the drums? Oh, okay. Okay.
That just goes into stereotypes. I understand. Yeah.
No, but that it's a thing. That is the... So back to Childish Gambino, one of the arguments people kept saying is when they were trying to defend why he would probably date a white woman, he grew up in a place where he was weird. They weren't checking for him in high school. He had elements of whiteness that weren't appreciated, so he found a person who appreciated the weird things about him. When I say whiteness, I only mean that in terms of he was awkward, he was weird, he liked anime, comics, all the nerdy stuff, right? That black people haven't really accepted that we like, but in large numbers, we all watched some sort of that when we were growing up. Cartoons, after school, we all liked the same things. But we come out and say later that because we were interested in those things, that we were ostracized from blackness, so to speak. And there are a bunch of people who then use that as a defense for dating white people.
Which I think is purely ridiculous.
It is.
I think it's ridiculous. Because for every black male geek or whatever there's a black female geek. Heck, I was a blurt in high school. I love reading. I love doing different things. It's about you wanting a certain type of person to be attracted to you. And if it didn't look like that, then you were like, well, I'm going to go to another race to maybe get that. Rather than saying, why don't I find me another black, you know, nerd and figure out things that I do like. Because I grew up in a predominantly white school system. Where I live was all black. But when I went to school, my parents sent me to a school where I would have diversity, where I would know how to engage with people that weren't not like me. And there were all types of black people. Yeah. Were the black athletes and the different things checking for me? No, they weren't. So would I go, man, because, you know, the brothers at my high school wasn't checking for me. So now I guess I just, man, forget it. I'm going to go after the white. Man, that's ridiculous. To this day, I'm still like, I want to marry a black man. And it's nothing against here. That's just my preference. But I don't use it as an excuse. My thing is, if you just found somebody, cool. But the thing is, that doesn't work for Gambino, because Gambino been out of high school for a long time. And he just had them kids. So you done already been immersed into Hollywood and you did all kind of different things. So you could have met creative black people. There are creative black people around all the time. Just say, I wanted to date this person. And so I dated this person. I don't like the excuse. The excuse part is the stuff that makes me start to get upset. Because if you just say and own it, hey, I wanted to date this person. The excuses is when I go, so let's talk about what's really in the depth of your heart or what's going on here. Because that's where I think, where we going to pick this conversation on and move towards, where a lot of black women get into it, is it's not so much in your choice, it's in the heart or the state of mind that causes you to make some of the choices that you make. That's the part I think that starts to really, really get at us. And I know you were like, why do you even care? Because we're human.
So for those of you who didn't hear that part of the conversation, I asked them, or asked T, why is it that black women seem to internalize a man, black man dating outside of his race, specifically to a white woman, when we don't? We as black men, if I see a white woman, black woman with a white man, it doesn't really bother me. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I go on about my day. Hmm. I don't really take that further than it is.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, we're going to get into that because, you know, because that's when you bring in the stats, because you don't see it that often. That's why. Because every once in a while you might go, you don't. And I'm going to just be very, very honest. And to my white brothers, you do a good job of selecting the black sisters that you do end up dating. Because for the most part, when you think about it, think about some of the black women that are dating white men. They're highly successful black women. They're doing different things. Just in general, I know they're going to have outliers or different things, okay? And they are choosing that type of woman. And you don't see it, because I did do some stats, because I know numbers. Y'all like numbers, okay? So I did pull up some stats from Pew Research about black demographics. And a black man is twice as likely to marry a white woman than a white woman is than a black woman is to marry a white man. Literally, for everyone, you're going to see two on the opposite side. And black men marry at a rate of 25%. Like, so 25% of black men marry, I didn't say interracially, white women. We're not even getting into Latino women, Asian women, Indian women. Specifically, the only one I'm talking about is white women. Black men marry 25% interracially, white women. Black women, and it's just taken up over the last 4 years that black women are actually marrying white men at about 12%. And when I did demographically, we broke it down that when black women, when they were marrying outside of their race to marry a white man, they had a bachelor or higher degree. Black men statistically usually have a bachelor or higher degree as well. But since about 2015, we've seen a 17% rise in black men that don't have any post-high school or postgraduate education. Just period. The rise is just, and then literally, y'all, looking at the graph, that line is just going like straight up like a mountain. It just keeps increasing and increasing. And I know a lot of people would say, well, isn't that great? Isn't that great? That means our society is becoming more integrated. That means we're probably living in a post-racial society and we're getting to know each other so much better. I mean, over the last 5 years, you know, we haven't had any kind of, you know, racial disputes or more. Have we had more understanding in the last 5 years than we've had, you know, since racial marriages started to go up? No. But I guess that would be good, just saying that black men marry who they want to marry. And that's okay. But the thing is, what you're saying is we see it more often than you see it. And so when you're saying, when a black woman, why do you care? I just see it a lot. And so as black women, we might have a conversation that we see it a lot. And if you see it a lot, you start looking at it and kind of like, I wonder why. I wonder why.
And then, you though, just because you see something more often, do you wonder more about it?
For me, I do. For me, I do. If I see somebody driving, if I see all these cars, the same kind of cars driving, I go, damn, they got a lot of people driving these. These must be awesome. Like, these must be good. I didn't see them as much before, but now I see them all the time. This must be a dope ass car. And makes me want to go check it out. Why are you driving all these? That's just the natural inquisitive nature of humans. But when you see it every once in a while, you might see it. Like, I saw a Tesla yesterday. I don't see a lot of Teslas. Okay. I don't. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, interesting. It didn't stick with me. But then I saw a whole bunch of Honda 2018 Honda Accords looking different. I was like, man, why are everybody driving these? Like, everybody has one. It made me go and sit down and actually say, let me check out some of the features on this bad boy, because everybody got one of these bad boys.
So to your point, one of the things that also fits into it is your environment, right? If you are in a different place, and you happen to see more of a thing and it's normal for you, right? You're not really going to care that much. If you grow up in a place where there's a lot of interracial dating, you happen to see a particular brand of it, where you see a lot of white women with black men or vice versa, you won't really care quite as much, right? Because over time, familiarity breeds contempt. Same thing, this kind of makes the argument about the nerds make sense. If you happen to go to a particular high school, right, and in the environment you don't have a lot of black women who are nerds, you just happen to see one particular thing based on your environment, right? I'm there more often, so of course I become more attracted to it because I see it more often, and that's the thing. I'm not saying the excuse is true, but I'm giving grounds to how it could be true. So your setting and your environment dictates a lot about what you may find to be something that bothers you a lot. For me personally, I've grown up in a place where I've seen a lot of interracial marriages and interracial dating, and it didn't bother me. Either way, I've always been interested as to why people are offended by it. I know if you can, questioning is cool, but being offended or taking something so deep that has nothing to do with you to heart has always been, well, why? Why is it that we're going to an extreme? Why can't you just, you know, well, what was that person doing for you? Okay, that's what they're doing for you to make you happy. Oh, okay, cool. It's not a color thing. So I guess we have to deal with what kind of environment leads you to think that it's an immediate, just because I did this, I'm against you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. What you thinking, yo? Because I hear what he's saying. But in the same token, I'm not saying that I agree with it. I just understand why people feel betrayal. Not offense, betrayal.
Think about with mixed people. We were talking about this earlier before we actually started recording. When we found out Jordan Peele had a white wife, we were like, oh, okay. You know, we were cool with it because he comes from that culture. That's his setting. You were with a woman who matched my mom. Right? Your mom is white, I believe. I think his mom is white. Okay, cool.
Now, if Drake was to do it. You said, you make an assumption. I didn't say that I was with it. I think you made an assumption. I just said that, and I'm not saying that I'm against it. It's just the point is you made the assumption, and I said I was aware that he had a white wife, and he made the movie Get Out. What a lot of black women were saying was, yo, was that movie about you or what? Because it was very comical to say, and we'll get into it. It's very comical to say, man, I understand your plight. Man, I'm down with you and everything like that. And then saying, but I'm over here. I understand what you're going through. Cool. I love you as a black woman. I appreciate you as a black woman. But I just fell in love with a white woman. That's cool. That's cool. I think what black women have a tendency to do, not even black women, black people, is you take a small segment of our community who refuses or has a measure of self-hate. They don't like things that are black. They don't like the blackness that they have to live with every single day. They don't like the things that remind them that they're black. And so they try to get away from that, and they make it a point not to date within their race. And when you start to have, and you've associated that feeling with interracial dating, it's very hard to break it. Okay, it's very hard to break it. And without getting, and the reason why is because we've associated it with black men, because black women have felt more intimidated, not them intimidated, but more betrayed by black men dating outside of their race than vice versa. Hence why you'll take a whole other event that happened yesterday. All right. Y'all probably didn't watch it, but I got my butt up early in the morning and watched the royal wedding. So did y'all hear anything about it?
I saw some things on my timeline about it, but I didn't watch anything or see any clips of it.
I watched the entire thing. Why? Because I like weddings.
Women are into weddings.
I watched William and Kate's wedding, and with no hint of blackness anywhere around that. It was just fun to see, like, man, look at all this pomp and circumstance around a ceremony and all the different things that happened. But I was pleasantly surprised at the reaction that everybody... Did you hear one negative word about the wedding yesterday on your timelines?
No. I saw a lot of nice pictures of the bride's mother.
Yes.
And I did see a clip of...
the bishop.
Well,
the choir.
The choir that was singing. I did see those things.
The thing is, like, literally, if you go down timelines, go back down your Instagram timelines, go back down Facebook timelines, all you saw was, man, we got melanin popping. Oh, my goodness. Because so much of black culture was enriched into an environment that it is usually not in. I mean, Meghan Markle, okay, yes, she is biracial. The only representation that she had there was a black mother. that raised her single. Okay. So that was the that's the representation that she had. A black mother not only that had dreads, walking down the aisle in dreads. I don't think people understand that. Like, you're in like a very predominant and, you know, historically white place, angelic church place. And you are walking down there with dreads to watch your daughter marry the Prince of England. And along the way, you see a dude with a big old fro sitting there, you know, playing the cello. Wonderful. Excellence. Beautiful black excellence. Then you hear the choir. You guys have got to go back and watch this. Just for GP. You have got to go back
and
watch
it. Take your word for it. Yeah, they were singing Stand By Me. Right?
Yes, but the point is, did you see the audience faces, though? Mm. Like, they were just like, what the hell? Like, why are you singing so loudly? And what's going on? And you saw this. And even in the audience, they were looking at the people that were singing in the choir. Natural hair. Just look like Africa just got released in England, okay? And then you see all of this wonderful. Then you see a black bishop that was hand-selected by the bride herself, okay, to represent the Episcopalian Church from America, which I thought was very intentional, throwing out Martin Luther King quotes and basically saying is, look, all right, talking about love, I must admit, I cried. I did, because it was so moving, because he was so genuine in what he was actually saying. And it made people like look and go like, we need to do this. He said, we can come together for these two people, you know, trying to celebrate love. All right. Then we need to be able to go do more than that outside of just this ceremony and figure out how we can do this thing together. And that's when I was like, I think that's why everybody started getting on it, because it wasn't about, well, Megan just don't like black men. And we know that that's not the case for every black man. But as a woman, you felt like she made it a point to embrace her blackness. And she just went on a blind date with a white dude and fell in love. And I'm not saying, I know where you're going. And you're like, well, we don't do that too? Yes, you do.
No, that's actually not what I'm going to say. Yeah. What I'm going to say is it's interesting the way we make the narrative behind it.
Mm-hmm.
If you take perspective and you realize that your perspective is going to make a different story, right, you could look at it the other way. You could take the Hotep approach to this situation. Okay, so they purposely went to a very white place and added very black things to it to put a message out there. Why? What's the point, right? But that's just depending on the perspective. It's a narrative. It's the one I created to make something make sense. We're cool with doing that for Megan, and that's a beautiful situation. But when we look at it on the inverse, we're quick to say, oh, he must not like sisters. We make this whole negative story that follows it to make it make more sense. We really don't have any idea. He could have gone on a blind date too. We don't know that. But the narrative we created proves everything that we feel about it. So we're rationalizing why it upsets us. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. But everybody's perspective is going to be influenced by what's going on around them. Like, in general, the black American woman's perspective is going to be influenced in a way that if you're not a black American woman, you're not going to understand it. So I could see why a black woman will feel a certain way of black men dating white women specifically or any other race and have a negative feeling based on the American experience as a whole. And also, I think it's very unique, the narrative that you said, or the perspective of any woman looking at this incredible wedding. I mean, you know, who knows how much money was spent on this? I didn't see it, but you know, this was an expensive wedding.
Right.
And this was a royal wedding.
Right.
And you know how women love weddings. So, so of course, that narrative is going to be, you know, it's going to be, I would say, more positive than any negative.
And something that you hit on that we were talking about earlier is the experience of the black woman in America. It's quite different. And I know we like to say as black men. Well, I just know, listen, and we're not doing enough talking together as black men and black women about each other's experience. I believe the black woman's role has been for so many years was to support that black man and make sure that that black man was uplifted and that we took care of the home and we made sure everything was there. But I don't think that it's ever been, or black women in general have felt that level of protection and affirmation from black men, especially recently, especially in the light of maybe like the last 5 or 10 years. We're constantly dealing with feeling not good enough. And it's not something that black men have done, but just in general society. And I know black men experience it as well. But as a black woman, like constantly, you've even gone on record, Yorick, is saying, I would not want to be a woman. Like, I'm not doing that. Nah. Because it's so difficult. I watched a really cool movie on Netflix today about reversing the roles, about what this dude kind of walked up. It's not the one with Mel Gibson. It's a foreign movie. And the dude saw it through the woman's eyes for 1 second. And I wish we could have did that with black people. Like, literally, because sometimes I don't think you understand some of the thoughts and the different things that go through a black woman's mind. Just trying to be successful, just trying to be esteemed as accepted, just trying to be beautiful. Because, you know, literally, if you born a certain way with certain features and doing certain things, you can't control that. And I don't want to make it just a matter of being, you know, physical features, but also some of your, you know, internal features, your personalities and different things. We have to work on not being too strong when the premise of our whole existence is being strong. It's like, be strong. But I had somebody even tell me, you can't be too strong because that man needs to be needed. And I'm like, okay, but my whole being, especially me as being 36, my whole being is taking care of myself. My whole being is making sure that I have what I need. And at that point, you're telling me that that personality is strong, and men are like, well, no, see, black women, they just too loud. They got too much to say. They're not this, they're not that. So I'm going to go to a different type of woman that I seem to be a little bit more, that's a little bit more palatable.
That way of thinking is an outlier. So we have to call that out. Not every black person, black man who goes and dates outside of their race feels that way. Even though that's the voice that we like to put on there, not all of us. I've dated outside my race, and that wasn't my thinking when I dated a white woman at all.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's what you're thinking. I'm telling you what the black woman is thinking. And the reason why is that is the thing is, I understand that. The point is, I understand that because we've had conversations about it. The thing is, I'm talking about the general black woman that doesn't know anything about you. Is no matter what, and I wrote a paper about it this week at work, you are going to be or think out of your experiences the same way that you said. And if everything, and for a lot of black women, it hasn't been overwhelmingly positive examples. You know, what's the home of the race that has the most, the father absent the most? Black people. What's the race literally that has more black men locked up? You know, we are thinking about, we have broken homes. We have a culture that is not pro us. And then you're looking at people that look like you, that should be enjoying this experience like you, as kind of like, nah, I don't really want that. Nah, I'm going to go something else. No matter what you guys may think, you might think in your head, and I know many wonderful black brothers that are like, I love black women. I love it. But in general, we don't hear that a lot. We don't. We don't see that a lot. And we don't necessarily feel that a lot. And so even though we shouldn't project that onto every person, because every person's motive and intent is different. And that's why I tell you, I understand we need to have more conversations, even though Yo said conversations don't do nothing. Jesus is going to have to come back. But in general, there needs to be an understanding. You got to start understanding where black women are coming from. We don't hear black is beautiful. Like, literally, now you're seeing this resurgence when you go in stores where shirts are just like melanin popping, black is beautiful. Did you see how people react when Black Panther came out?
Yo, yeah, that's dope. But I want to interject real quick. So how does it feel when you see a white man dating a black woman? Like, we were talking about the royal wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, who is black. Is she mixed or she's
biracial?
She's biracial, but she's black. What do you Serena Williams, she married a white man.
Eve married.
Okay. How do you feel about white men marrying black women?
You're asking me personally how I feel?
Yeah, because you said how it feels.
You talked about the
black female's experience looking at a black man date, you know, white women. How's it?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me. When I paid close attention yesterday. Like, even when I saw Serena walking in, like, with her husband, I was just like, that's interesting.
Now, Serena has a documentary on HBO.
I know.
Being Serena.
Yes.
I just saw the last episode yesterday. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. Serena has some very interesting views that's different than mine. Yeah. Okay?
You're talking about somebody who's black. Serena is from Compton.
Yes.
You know her daddy. You've seen it.
Yes.
Comes from a black family. So.
Yeah, so that's why I said she has different views, which I think, if I would be very honest, has been shaped by the men that she's dated. And I was telling now that I was like, she didn't just come out being like, oh, I'm about to go marry a white boy. No, she done dated a lot of brothers. And I think that might have shaped her experience on why you were like, well, how do you know she came up with that narrative? Because she's had some really messy, you know, relationships that have been, I don't know what she's thinking, but I've known the things that have happened in her relationships to a lot of brothers. She went on a whole streak for a long time dating nothing but brothers. So it wasn't like this self-hate, but I think it was an exhaustion.
Okay, so how do you feel about that?
What?
She got exhausted with dating black men.
But
you see her happy now.
I mean, I could only imagine that she's happy. I don't know if she's happy.
We don't know.
I'm only imagining. I just see the choice. That's it, okay? I see her choice.
We see the positive aspects.
And so my thing is, I mean, that's her. I mean, for me, like I said, it doesn't change what I want. But I mean, that's her. I'm like, that wouldn't have necessarily been my choice. But I'm saying that now. But I'm just saying, I don't know what lies ahead. But that's what that wouldn't have been my choice probably.
So the way you're talking about that in comparison to how we literally just talked about the guy is so interesting to me.
Yes, it is.
It's a completely different narrative.
It is.
For us, we are like, for a man, I'll say, or at least for me, if I see that happen over a while, you know, you just ended up with a white woman. Okay, you ended up with a white woman. Okay. I'm not going to think any deeper into it.
It's different, but I don't think that in general, black women in general, I'm not saying outliers, deal with black men the way that black men deal with black women. And the reason why I think more black women are staying, 93% of black women want to marry a black man. 93%. And the thing is, they want to marry a black man. They want to support and have black families. They desperately want that. And I think we, just being honest with you, we don't have as much choices. Okay? We don't. If you ain't locked up, already married, gay, or anything like that, we kind of dealing with a small percentage of people. And I'm being very honest. You guys have your pick of the litter. Literally. Just because now you might be fishing in the wrong pond, but literally you have the pick, you have more choices. And the thing is, it doesn't necessarily mean you have better choice. You have more choices. So the likelihood of making it match is much different. We as black women, we feel something different. I don't think you see as many black women on there going, because, you know, niggas just ain't, but niggas ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just like, just being like, can you believe, I'm saying, because you believe like these, man, I'm telling you, I've been around black women my whole life. Never do we sit around. Girl, let me just tell you, Miss, might as well go ahead and get you, you know, marry outside your race and get you somebody because, you know, they going to treat you right and they going to be the ones. Never has really that been a narrative for me. I didn't say it didn't happen. That's why I said never has that been the narrative for me. And I know a lot of black people. Okay. And so for that to be the case, you know, but I've heard that vice versa quite a bit. There are guys that I knew I grew up with. Hell, we were talking and they'll be like, nah. Like, there's certain guys I'll be like, I know you're not marrying a black girl. It's not because, I just know you're not. But you my boy, but I know you never gonna marry. Someone they pop up and be like, I'm getting married. I'll be like, oh, okay. That makes sense because you don't like black women. You don't date black women. And that is the thing that make, did I feel betrayed? No, but it was kind of like, it is what it is. I was ambivalent. I was like, it is what it is. You do what you want to do. I understand that you just don't like black women. And so that's okay. Because you just don't like black women. So save it for somebody that actually likes black women. You know, I have cousins who've married outside their race that I understood. They just happened. But they didn't like black women either. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, but I think for a black woman, it is hurt. Because black men, they're just like, man, I'm just trying to find me a fine, you know, woman. That they don't really get hurt over somebody, you know, picking someone else. Because that's not how...
Like, wait.
I just don't feel like
y'all get to that hurt. Point, we are like that because we are trained to deal with rejection. I'll say that as a whole, black men are... Well, not black men, just men in general, because of the way we have to deal with dating. We're used to someone saying no to us, right? There's going to be somebody you're going to approach, she's going to say no. Now, you can take it personally, or you can just move on. And when that happens enough, you're more comfortable with being rejected, and it's not that big of a deal. So if I happen to go to a black woman and she turns me down, okay, fine. I'm not going to be like, you know what, that's it. I'm going to try my hand with the white people. No, it's just a circumstance. It's a part of life. I don't feel like, well, rather, I think it would be interesting to see if all things were equal, if we both had the experience with dealing with rejection and not internalizing rejection, how would that be?
I don't know. I feel like I read a lot of comments on social media, and they do have some men that definitely internalize rejection.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's men that are like that. But, yeah, so what I was saying, for the most part, men, we know that, you know, we're going to get rejected at some point. I mean, nine times out of ten, you might get looked over. But that one time, that's all we need. So we know how to.
But the thing is, if it's 7 to 1, all right, okay, you might be like, look, man, for every man, there's 7 women. And so literally, think about that. For every man, that's 7 women. So for a woman, it's kind of like, well, God, dog, shucks, you know. And I'm not even, and this is no diss to, like, you know, the gay community or anything like that. But I've even heard women be like, man, shit, I'm just going to try, you know, women. Because literally, I've heard it before. And it's not, I'm not saying that some people haven't dated and been attracted to the same sex their whole life. But some women are just like, man, look, there's 7 freaking women to 1 man. And if I want to marry a black man, like 93% of black women know, the likelihood of that these days is you're dealing with some stuff. You're dealing with some stuff. And so what you're seeing is, and you hear this on movies all the time, man, half our men locked up, man, are doing this. And all the good ones, you take all the good ones, go to the white.
Yeah, and that's another stereotype. That's another stereotypical narrative that we tell each other. And I think it's really interesting, the stories that keep getting cycled around, because we really, I forget this lady's name, but it was a TED Talk talking about the dangers of hearing one story, right? There's a group of people, and if you only hear one story, that story becomes passed around. It becomes the story for that experience. And it may not necessarily be true, but it's the one that everyone passes around. So conversation in this circumstance would actually do better if we had more stories of, you know, this is just what worked for me. This is why I look at, you know, mixed relationships and their children who then date the other side of the race. I look at that differently. So that's a totally different narrative that we don't really hear too often. I would love to hear about Jordan Peele's experience with his mom and how things worked out. I loved hearing about Drake and how his mom had that relationship and that changed the way he looked at women. And God's Plan, the video, he's talking to one of the young boys and was like, you got to hold on to your mom because that's everything. And his experience is totally different from mine. But the way that his story is probably going to play out is going to be interesting because of the narrative that was passed around him. They don't have the same limits, I feel, that we have as one side of a culture. I remember growing up, my uncle laughing at my cousins and myself, y'all probably gonna end up with white girls because y'all go to these schools, y'all do this, and that's a narrative that we pass around. And so when one of my cousins actually did end up with a white woman, none of us were surprised, but at the same time, it's like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, confirmation bias. We told him over a series of years, you're not going to find happiness in a black woman. You're not. Look at you. You play basketball. You're going to be tall. You're going to find a white girl. These things that we keep telling them have become a thing. And we don't ever think about how that affects people. We just keep that story going around.
To compound on what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, but imagine the story that black women have heard their whole life. And I know you're not a black woman, so you probably haven't heard it, all right? But imagine the thing that you have to be a certain way, that how you look and what you are and how you act and all the things that you carry aren't acceptable.
We've heard the same thing. It's just different. Masculinity for us is that story. For as a black man, York, I don't know if you felt this, but there is pressure to be a man and also have black added onto it. So it's like added weights. It's like a weight vest that you have to walk around with. I'm trying to be a man. Some of the things that I do as a black man are frowned upon by the society of white people or just the overall culture as a whole. So I have to deal with how big of a impact my manhood has to take care. What's a better way of explaining it? It is like no one says to black men, aside from black women, I appreciate you. You know, outside of sports and things of that nature, outside of those things, no one appreciates certain aspects of blackness when they talk to black men. It's something that we've over time just gotten used to, and it just is what it is, right? When you see an intelligent black man, you might hear them say, oh, he's very articulate. Articulate for me is a trigger word. I don't like how people say that because when you grow up in certain environments, that is used as a means to hold you down. Oh, you're so articulate for a black man. We have those things, and I think that would parallel your experience, but the way we deal with them are different.
Yeah, you like, I never hear, you know, I appreciate you like a black man from a black woman, so, you know, I'm going to marry a white woman.
No. It's like the moment you find somebody.
But literally, I couldn't let that go. I'd be like, man, you never hear that. Man, I appreciate you for being like, you know, an awesome man. And being a black man in the society that we're in, having to deal with all the pressures and stuff like that. That's one of the main reasons I said when you come home, there's certain things that you hear because you're like, I appreciate all the stuff that you have to deal with and the choices that you're making and the person and the man and the husband and the father that you are. And I think that, but imagine, when do we hear that as black women? I'll wait. Make sure you get your weave in. Make sure your hair long. Make sure you look this. Make sure you do this. Make sure you don't have too much of an attitude. You can be strong, but not too strong. You can be successful, but not too successful. You can do all this. When do we ever just say, I appreciate you being a black? We don't hear it from y'all. And that's
but
the point.
There are some of us who say that. And what I'm saying is, it makes more sense to me that if you don't have that, that's devoid of being a man or a woman. If you don't have that and somebody gives that to you, it becomes more attractive. If that's something you've been craving, when you have someone actually put that level of encouragement in you, mm-hmm. that's a hard thing to get rid of. So if a white woman happens to do it for a black man and he's never heard from a black woman in a way that made sense to him or manifested, made him feel anything, okay, I get it. If a black woman finds a white man that says it, okay, I get it. It's just the fact that we need to call out, this is what we're looking for. Both sides want appreciation. I think that's what it is. Both sides want to find someone that appreciates them and respects them. Now, how we go about it is different. Who we have that gives it to us can be different. But at the end of the day, we're all looking for the exact same thing.
So let me kick it to you. I talked to you about it earlier. Yo, check this out. Mm-hmm. We can kind of wrap up with this. I was reading in some stats today, and it said, black women are the only women have to preface this when they're talking to black men. They go, so you are in to black women, right? When they're talking to another black man. They're like, so you're in to black women. They said no other race. Now, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Indian people, nothing like that have to go. So you're in to your race, right? Most of them are. They never really have to say, are you in to this? And I never thought about it. And I just sat there and started laughing. Because I thought about some of the thoughts that I've even had as a woman. And I've had that. I've not always verbalized it, but I've had that. I've been like, oh, I wonder, he might not even really be in the sisters. And that's a crazy thing to say. That's a crazy thing to say about one community that we would say, you're probably not even into people that most look like you, right? When no other community really does that. Nobody else does that but us.
I don't know. I think other communities may do that.
Like, I don't think so.
There's Jewish men that tend to date Asian women, so I can imagine some Asian communities where that's. Well, I'm talking about women dating men. So you're talking about men dating women,
right? Hmm. Think about it.
So when you brought this up earlier, I meant to ask: is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's an interesting thing. I haven't put a connotation of it, or good or bad. It's just very interesting that, and it made me think the problem is with our community, or the issue is with our community, because literally no other, I don't think that white women go sit down and talk to white men and be like, but you are into white girls, right?
But is that something that's wrong with, and this may be perceived wrong, I'm going to say it though, is that an issue with the culture, the community of black people, or is that a black woman issue? Because we don't, you don't technically have to say that. You don't. You could just find out.
I mean, you know, no, it could be a parent. It could be one of those things. I find it very interesting as a black woman that when you think about it, just really honestly, and you're transparent about your thinking, and you're just like, really, do other races really think that? Especially, and from women, I wonder if an Indian woman or an Arab woman would go, so you are into, you know, people that, you know, look like you, right? And it's not that they can't be into people that are, don't look like them. But the very basis is the fact is, are you attracted to people that even look like you? And yeah, I think, you see what I'm saying?
I think other communities go through that. To what extent? I don't know.
I think it's different. I think it stems back generationally from a lot of stuff on how we look at ourselves as black people. I think we've been taught by a lot of different things to hate who we are. And hate what it is, because I've listened, and maybe because you guys have talked as guys, and I've been friends with guys for a very long time. I was the tomboyish girl growing up, so I didn't have a lot of girlfriends. I've only had like maybe one or two friends as girls my whole life. I've only had guy friends. And so I've partaken in a lot of conversations with men, and literally the way that they've brought up, I'm talking about from being in grade school to high school to college to post-college and the world and everything, I see some things that just continue to run through. It's synonymous that there is a level of trying to understand and love yourself where it's very difficult because of the way that society and culture is set up. I know we would love to say, oh yeah, I'm pro this. No, literally every day, if you're honest with yourself, trying to appreciate and love yourself for who you are and in the skin and body that you're in and figure out who you are. And so I think we've been mentally messed up for a very long time as a community, and we don't talk enough to deal with it.
Yeah.
And because of that, we tend to, and it's not just because women manifested in a different way. See, men manifested in who they date and everything like that. Women manifested in how they look. And for years, like, think about it. We make ourselves as Eurocentric as possible. With the, like I said, we had a recent, you know, resurgence of Afrocentrism, where, you know, braids and natural hair and all of that. But for years, beauty budgets, what? Nails, you know, weaves, different things like that to make sure that we are appealing to this Eurocentric standard of beauty. And we do that because we wouldn't dare walk out. I mean, they have black people that tell you, you don't come to work with your hair blown out. I knew a boss that they wouldn't let you come to work with no afro. That's a little too much.
So one of the things that I'll have to add in here is some of the standards of beauty are things that necessarily don't impact the man. So I think it's interesting that the things that y'all perpetuate within your culture, because it's not something that I would require as a man. Like, I wouldn't need that. You could still be attractive without that. But it's certain things.
You're in the minimum, just so you know. I'm just York. Letting you know.
Do you?
I know York, so you in the minimum. York is not in the same category as you.
No, I was going to say, do you care about if a woman is bad with or without makeup?
Be honest.
Wait, bad? What do you mean?
Like, do you think if a woman is attractive, do you think makeup matters? Is that a thing for you?
Makeup as in whether she puts it on or not? Like, yeah. What do you mean? If she's attractive, makeup doesn't matter to me, no.
Okay. So the shade doesn't impact you at all. It's just, it is what it is. If you're attractive, you're attractive.
Oh, shade of skin?
Yeah.
Nah, that doesn't matter to me. If you're attractive, you're attractive. Now, I do have a preference. I lean toward certain shade or, mm-hmm. you know, appearance, but. Yeah, if somebody's attractive, I could recognize attractiveness, and you know.
Okay, I feel the same way. So to that point, when you think about the same Eurocentrism, said that wrong, that we're talking about, the Eurocentric view. Women go to the Sephora and Ulta and all these places to get foundation to look a certain color, right? But we just said it doesn't really matter that much to us. So some of these things are things that y'all do for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not do for everyone.
Okay.
I don't know, but yeah, but some women need the makeup. The makeup does so much.
I saw transformation
because of makeup and the wigs or the extensions or, you know, the way they do their hair. It does much.
That's why I said, you tell that to a woman who walk out in her natural, same woman who walk out her natural hair, no makeup, everything. Then go put a weave on, put your foundation on, all that. Watch how many more people hollering at her.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, look,
that's
going
to get you. If you I go understand. To the club and they all fixed up and the next morning they'll have that on, whew, be a different person.
I'm just saying it's different because in general, I'm not saying every guy is shallow, but there's certain things that just appeal when you think about it. Look at just think about it. If you a dude that watch videos or watch movies and watch all that kind of stuff, think about what you see all the time.
Like we say, what story? Women.
Right. You just don't. That's not what it is. And when you think about, oh man, think about, look on some of the stuff, even as women see. Best dressed, you know, best dress list and all this kind of stuff. You don't see, like, the first one. That's why I went crazy for Black Panther, because people were like, oh my goodness, look at these women. I went crazy yesterday watching the choir for the wedding. I was like, oh my God, look at these Black women, like regular Black women, like with regular features. Yes, they had makeup on, not too much, but like braids, froze, just dreads, different things. And I was like, you can say whatever you want. That is not widely accepted. It's not. It might be acceptable to you. But when I talk about culturally, man, no.
See, but why is that a concern? So if you know that black men aren't really accepted in certain places, right? We're not allowed to be who we are, and just like you guys aren't in the corporate world, right? Corporate world. We're not supposed to be as Black. We need to pull it back a little bit. We got to draw. We all have that line that we know we're supposed to be at. But you still go to work. You still do all these things, and it happens, and it doesn't bother you. Why does it bother you now? Why does the world's view?
Oh, I already told you, it's not even a point. It does bother me. I tell you that by the fact that when I get ready for work, I think about my hair every single day, and I think about, should I wear it this way or shouldn't I wear it this way? Because I understand I'll be perceived a certain way by how I wear my hair. I do. And isn't it before a word comes out of my mouth, how I dress, how I wear my hair, all those different things, because I don't get the luxury of saying, oh, well, let me listen to you and see if you're smart. Let me listen to you and see if you're qualified. I have to realize that I have to present something when I'm coming there. And if it's not something that you're normally used to seeing, then I have to make sure I make you comfortable. And how I do it, because I, especially if I'm in a powerful position, because I have to gain the influence. I have to have the influence to persuade you to do something. And so, yes, it still bothers me. That's why I was like, just because we don't vocalize it doesn't mean that it doesn't bother me. I still think about it every morning. I think about it when I'm going out. How am I looking? Is it appropriate? And those are battles I have to go through every day. Just because I don't verbalize it doesn't mean that it's not there. It's there. And I can be like, oh, well, I make a whole bunch of money. Don't matter. Still there. Oh, well, what's the pigment of your skin? Doesn't matter. Still there. And I'm telling you, as a woman going through some of the experiences that we've gone through, it's hard. You have to grow and you can't internalize as much, but it's hard. And I think it's different. That's all. That's all I have to say about it. It's just different. But I still want to marry a Black man. But... and y'all, just so I know, I ain't trying to throw no shade. He just doing all of this, laying this platform, because now I don't want to marry no Black woman. He going to marry a white woman.
The narratives we tell each other.
No, I'm just telling you. I promise you, if our show's still rolling on the line, I'm going to tell you. When I knew it, the day has come.
And see, it's stuff like this that we have to deal with. Right, I would never be like, you're gonna marry a white man. Look, no,
my family does it, so it's okay. But my biggest thing is, I must still be the same crazy bitch with you, the same way. And I'm gonna be like, I already knew it.
That would be something if you did end up marrying a white man, too.
That would be very interesting.
It really would. And I'd be sitting there like, oh,
let me go ahead and tell you, there's not even that, but let me go ahead and tell you, that would be a Jesus thing. That would be a Jesus thing. Jesus would have to be like, hey,
it's about love.
That's me. Okay? He would have to do a lot of work. And so that's why I say he would have to do a lot of work. And love is awesome. But love has characteristics to it as well. And that's the one thing that we love to say, love is enough. Love is what it's rooted in. But we have to understand that love has to have long suffering, and love has to have no record of wrong, and love has to have patience and kindness and all that good stuff. And so that's why I'm saying similar experiences are helpful sometimes in building relationships. Not impossible not to do it, but very helpful. That ain't gonna happen, so y'all can already be sure of that. But all right.
We don't know that.
Look, let me tell you something. We know. There's about a 90 to 10%
Honestly, life is still
going. There's about a 90% chance that Niall is not going to marry a black woman.
Why do you feel that
way? I feel that way because I listen to the way you talk. You're very chauvinistic, boo. And so, I don't think no black woman gonna really take with that.
What does that even mean?
You looking for somebody to make you 1,000 sandwiches. We didn't know I have.
Okay, so first of all, this joke has been going too far. I said one day, I was reading this story about a man who made this woman, who wasn't black, in order to get the ring, she had to make him 1,000 sandwiches. And I was like, yo, this is hilarious, because I knew immediately it wasn't a black woman he was talking about. You got to make 1,000 sandwiches for a ring, and it became the joke. So whenever people talk about earning the ring, at least he didn't make you make 1,000 sandwiches. That is not what I'm looking for. That's not what I want. Do I think I'm going to end up with a black woman? Yeah, I think so. Do I hope so? Yeah. Now, you're only saying that because your experience is limiting you to that perspective.
No, I'm just listening to your daddy, too.
Now we're going deep. We're going to family issues. But anyway.
That's what your daddy said, right? Okay. But anyway.
I don't think so. I don't limit the black experience to certain things.
But all in all, I think this is just the beginning of the conversation, but the black people need to talk to people more. Black women and black men specifically need to talk to each other more often to understand it and get that understanding of each experience. Because you can say, oh, there's a black experience. There is. There's a black experience, but there's also a black male experience, and there's a black female experience that all comprise the black experience. And so you got to look at both of them. And until that day, you will continue to have the apparent hypocrisy of, man, black man marrying outside of his race, betrayal. Black woman marrying outside of her race, go ahead and get it, girl.
At the end of the day, be careful of the narratives that you accept. The stories that you allow to take up your mental space become things. Your thoughts become actions. Your actions become who you are. So love is love. Love who you love. But then on the inverse, think long and hard about leaping to a judgment just because the story sounds comfortable.
Yeah, and go and listen to that sermon by that bishop from the Episcopalian Church, because he's talking about love, and so that's what it gets down to. I got you, but that's all I got to say about that. But I know that we're gonna pick this up at one point again, because
here you go, Mary White Man.
Yorick.
Yeah.
Mark my words. Okay.
Yeah, because we didn't even really get into the things that I kind of wanted to get into, but yeah, pick it up.
Oh man, what you want to get into? Just a preview.
Just the whole, like you said earlier, you wonder certain things. Like if you see certain people driving a certain car, mm-hmm. and you're like, man, what's the deal with that? I wonder what's going on with that car. Like whenever a white man, especially a white American man, dates a black woman, I wonder what it is that they're pursuing in those situations. And I have my thoughts on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do a part two, because I have my thoughts on that. And does it make you at all uncomfortable around an interracial couple at all?
No.
I'm not as well. The thing is, I'm not. I've been around people who've been married for years and everything. I'm not. Just because something is not your preference does not mean that you necessarily have to have a negative thought process about it. Just because if it's not your preference. I've been around them. Like I said, you can walk in with someone that's not the black person. I would be like, I would accept them because I accept you. But nothing about me is going to change. But I'll accept them because I accept you. And that's the same way that I've been with friends and family and everything of that sort. You know, so I don't know. We can continue talking about this, because I feel like this is not at all an exhaustive conversation. But we can talk about what the intrigue is when it comes to interracial. We'll leave that to you. All right, you guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of True Transparency.